Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Back part two of Stay the Course. Everybody say, stay the course. Amen. And staying the course is so important for us as believers. There's plenty of times that we have where we will feel like drifting, or there's times, like I said last time, everything is not always an exciting thing, but you have to stay the course. Amen. I talked about a couple of things. Let me recap real quick. I said the two main points I talked about was we must know the course. It's important to know the course. If you don't know the course, you can't stay on the course. It's like, I remember watching kids run track. Even me as a kid, I used to run track. And I always got put up with the older kids. I was like, man, why did they do that? But it helped me get faster. But if you went outside your lane, you were disqualified, right? If you run in the 200 and you're in the eighth lane, but you decide to go to lane one, you are disqualified. You're disqualified. So it's so important, even in something like track and field, they have rules that you must obey to stay the course. Now we see a lot of people even using what they call PEDs to try to get ahead of the game. But if they're not in line with the rules, they're not going to be able to stay the course. So we have to know the course. The other thing I talked about was we must know our call. It's important for us to know the call. And today, there's so much confusion that goes on. I was talking about it earlier before service, where people don't want to, they're worried about titles, but God is not a God that cares about titles. That's something that we've done. Amen? But God is concerned with the call. He has a call on each and every one of our lives, and we have to be obedient to that call. Amen? And today, we're going to talk about we must know our God. Somebody say, we must know our God. Pastor John Harris has been preaching some dynamic messages as we've been going out there to hear his sermons and hear his church service as they are getting started over there in Kirkland. And he went to John chapter 1. Now, when he read this, this kind of got me fired up. Somebody say, fired up. John chapter 1. We must know our God, and it starts with our beginning. Somebody say, our beginning. When we believe, do we really believe? And I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people I've been running into lately that say they believe in God. That's the first thing they say. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. And they think that's like a pass to do whatever they want to do, right? I believe in God, but blah, blah, blah. I do this, and, you know, God knows, but I just got to get my heart right. You don't really believe in God then. There's a lot of people that believe in a lot of other things in the world. For example, we don't believe that God is going to judge us because it's not swift. Now, there was times in the Bible days where God instantly judged people. You look at Lot's wife. God told him not to turn her back. She turned her back, and what happened? She was instantly turned to salt. So the great thing about God in the New Testament, it talks about that his grace and mercy, or it says in the Old Testament, is new every morning, but it also talks about in the New Testament where he is holding back the wrath that is headed towards you. He's slow to judge. And some people think that just because God is slow to judge, that he's not going to judge. But he is going to judge. Today we see people with pistols and they might shoot somebody. That's what they consider judgment. So they think, oh, that's the end of all. Or you see the actual judge in the court sentencing people to different prison terms, to different fines. We see that judge, but God is going to judge. Amen. And we must remember that even us as believers are going to be judged for the works that we do. You could be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, but if you are not walking out what God has called you to do, he's going to judge you on that. And it's very important that we understand that. But let's go to the end of the beginning. Pastor John was talking about our foundation must be secure in who God is. Today we live in a world where they talk about evolution, right? So, you know, even their foundation, if we go to the foundation of evolution, who is Darwin, the man named Darwin, he actually died a creation believer. You know, and that's something that people, a lot of people don't account to today when they talk about Darwin and evolution. They don't know that he died as a believer in Jesus Christ and in the creation. He said before he passed away, man, I just made that stuff up. We couldn't get it proved because he didn't have belief in God at that time. But we must believe who God is and who he is and apply him in our life. Amen. We're going to read John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, this is very important that we keep in our minds that God, this is also talking about a triune God that we see. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, it could have just said, and the Word was God, and took out the Word was with God. We see that God is together already. We got to get it together. Through him, all things were made. How many things? Some? A large portion? It says all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, if we believe this scripture as believers, there's no way anybody should be even able to teach something like evolution. If we as believers believe God's word, we wouldn't be confused with all the things that go on today. The Bible says God made all things. Now, I know a rapper, he used to say, God has made everything, but the devil, what has the devil made? The devil never made anything. The devil just corrupts everything that God makes. That's the devil's job. To go around and corrupt. Oh, God made fruit. Let me corrupt this fruit. God made sex. Let me corrupt sex. God made even drugs. Let me corrupt drugs. That's what the devil's job is to do. So we have to remember that God made everything. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, this is a powerful scripture, and I love how when you read something, God gives you more and more as you're preaching and you're teaching on it. It says that the light, even though we feel like we live in a world that is covered with darkness, this scripture says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Or in mine, it says, the darkness has not overcome it. Now, sometimes we feel defeated, but if we have the light, know that we will not be overcome because of the God that is in us. Amen. And we have to believe this. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. In knowing our God, we have to know that God is our word. And also, in knowing our call, we have to know we are a witness to his word. You guys see that? We must be a witness to his word. What does that mean, witness? There's going to be times where you don't want to share the gospel with some people, but the Holy Spirit is going to say, share it. Talk about me. Say my name, Jesus. Ask them, what do you think about Jesus? I'm in the gym. I'm working on an elliptical, and I'm just going 30 minutes on there, and the Spirit of God tells me to talk to the person next to me and ask them about Jesus. And I'm like, God, come on. All right. Well, let's talk about Jesus. Hey, man, what do you think about Jesus? I get all kind of comments. It's like Facebook. It's everywhere. You know, like people, they get upset. They get offended. I don't want to talk about him. And then you have other people that know some things about him, but they don't know all about Jesus. So what happens with them? They're headstrong, but they're not strong in their spirit. But we must bear witness to the light. Amen. Can you open this for me, precious? Hallelujah. It also says, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And when we look at that, that kind of reminds me of a popular show my wife loves to watch, Undercover Boss, right? I actually said it in a rap that never came out because somebody didn't put it out. But I was like, Jesus was really the first undercover boss. He was God. He came to the people. It said they didn't recognize who he was. Now, in Undercover Boss, and a lot of people can relate with this, the boss, the CEO, most of the people don't know who this guy is. They might have seen his picture every once or twice. But the guy that runs the whole thing, he said, hey, man, let me go down there and see what's really going on. Jesus had to say, hey, God said, man, Jesus, I'm going to send you down there to see what's really going on, to see if we can defeat the power of sin and death, to see if we can defeat the darkness that's in the world. Jesus came as the undercover boss to go through the same things that we went through. And that's what happens in the story, right? They get put to work. They put them to work and say, hey, man, can you handle this? And usually the bosses mess it up, but Jesus didn't mess it up. Amen. Let's clarify that. Jesus did not mess it up. But sometimes the bosses come and they see how hard it is and they're like, wow, we need to really show honor to some of these employees that we have. But Jesus, he came to set the record straight. My mom is funny. He came to set the record straight and he came, but the world didn't recognize who he was. Why? Because they didn't know who their God was. A lot of times if we don't know God, we don't even when we pray, if we don't know God's voice, we'll miss some of the things that he has for us to hear. We'll miss some of the things that he has for us to say because we didn't know him. It said he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, now check it out, there's a difference because some didn't receive him, but others did. See, I'm not going to get shouting in here today, but some did understand that this is Jesus. It said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, and he gave the right to become children of God. Now, once again, this is the call that we have. We are children of God if we receive him and believe on his name. And it says, children not born of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, this is a scripture that is powerful for people that think this is only a cultural thing. This scripture right here that we read, this actually branches it out for the Gentiles. It said, not of a natural descent. What does natural descent mean? My children are going to be African-American because they're my kids, right? If my kids have kids, they're going to, let's say they're going to still be in that descent. Let's say even if they marry a Caucasian person or a different, they're still going to have some kind of trace to my blood. But we know that this, what God did was not traced by any bloodline. Amen. It said the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, that's another thing to know about God. I'm going to talk about truth later, but if we know our God, we will know what truth is. Amen. Said John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. A lot of people don't catch that. What is he saying when he says he was before me, but he came after me? See, some people get confused on that. But if we really recognize who the word was, it said Jesus was the word. So if he was in the beginning with God, but he came to make his dwelling on earth, we see that, okay, he's been here before. It says, out of the fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. we look at this scripture, and I mean, the great thing about the Bible, there's so much in this scripture right here. There's so much it talked about. It talked about, even at the end, the latter part, it just talks about the Father-Son relationship that Jesus has with the Father. It said he was the closest you can get to the Father. And me having kids, there's some things that your kids will do. My son, now out of the blue, he might come and say, "Dad, I love you." I mean, it's like he might say it 3 or 4 times out the day, but every time he says it, you have to stop and pause and say, "Oh, man, son, I love you too." Why? Because my son has a relationship with me. We started playing basketball in the house, and every time he get a chance, "Dad, let's play basketball." You know, he wants to have a relationship, and that's how we got to be with God. Sometimes we neglect the relationship with God. Sometimes we get so busy, or even in our prayer times, we're saying a lot, but we're not allowing God to say too much. And that's a side note, but in that scripture, there's so much things that we have to unpack in knowing who God is. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 22 through 30, so I'm not delaying on this. It says, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe." Somebody say believe. See, when we're talking about this point right here, that's something Mother Mullins always say. See, but as we talk about this, we're talking about knowing God. Part of knowing God is believing God. Amen. We have to believe. Jesus said, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Somebody say my sheep. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Now, this is key in knowing who our God is, because a lot of people now they're following all kind of voices. And I love how this thing works together, man. I was getting some more notes for today. I didn't even know I had this in here, and he's going to give me something that's going to go on that. But we have to know his voice. It says, "I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We see Jesus continuing to testify about who he is. He's the Messiah, but also him still testifying of the greatness of his Father. And him and the Father are one. We see that. Jesus consistently says this. So when we live in a world now today that doesn't want to recognize who Jesus was, or Jesus not only was but is, because he still is today, yesterday, today, and forever, he's a God that does not change. We know that, hey, what he said, we have to follow. When he said, "I came to testify about the Father," how many of us are testifying about the Father? The great thing, I think I was talking about it, or my dad was talking about it, how there's so many songs that we sing unto God. I mean, there's not a lot of songs that people sing to other gods, at least that we know that are popular, right? I'm pretty sure they got some songs where they're doing some crazy stuff. But, and I'll say this, a lot of the songs that are to other gods, they may not say that God's name. We see a lot of secular music. Those are songs to gods. There's a guy, what's his name? Montel Jordan, who used to be a secular artist. Now he's been living for the Lord for about 7-8 years. He's a praise and worship leader down in Atlanta. And he was telling people when he was in the world, he was a worship leader. The things that he worshiped were what? He said they were partying, the God of the party. So all of his songs had that element. And he said, as God cleaned him out, he had to understand, hey, now my job is only to worship the true and living God. Amen. The thing about the devil is some people don't believe in him, but they do everything that he wants them to do. Why? Because they listen to that voice. And a lot of times the devil don't have to do too much, because he wants you to listen to the voice that you want to hear. That's the powerful thing about God. There's a lot of times when God's going to tell you to do something. Even when we started the church, it was a challenging thing to do. It wasn't something that, oh, yes, that's what I wanted to hear, God. God, I wanted to hear you. I remember as a kid, I was like, I don't want to be a pastor. I probably got that from my dad. That's. I hope my kid don't say the same thing. But I remember in class, I was able to quote a scripture, find out where it was. I was talking to my auntie about this earlier this week. And they were like, hey, you're going to be a pastor. This is in high school as a sophomore. I was like, I don't want to be a pastor. All I want to do is play basketball. All I want to do is do music. But God, somebody say, but God. But God has a call in our life. Amen. So we must know who Jesus is. We must know who Jesus is. We must know who God is. We know that they are one. But we also must know the truth. Somebody say the truth. The Bible says the truth shall set us free. Amen. The Bible says that we must walk in truth, not walk in darkness, but walk in the light. Amen. These are things that we must do. Why must we know truth? Because the devil, he corrupts truth. Right? I think I was talking about this last week. If I tell a kid 2 + 2 = 5 and they don't know the truth, they're going to accept that. We live in a world right now where 2 + 2 = 5. Right? What I mean, they tell people 2 + 2 = 5, or they'll tell you a man and a man can be married. If they don't know truth, people accept it. They tell you, it's okay to smoke weed. And I was just talking about this with my wife. There's a coach, Urban Meyer. He's an Ohio State coach. He's a Christian believer. And he was being interviewed, and he was asked, what's the worst thing that you see going on right now? He said, man, kids smoking weed. College kids smoking weed. And the announcer said this, but it's legal in some states, right? And Urban Meyer said, I don't care if it's legal in every state. It's wrong. Now, from that little statement, some people might not get excited, but what he is saying is he's taking a stand for truth, despite what our nation may say is okay to do. He still knows what the truth is. And we have to get to a place, despite what our nation says, despite what our family members say, huh? Despite what our friends say, we know the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that can set you free. Somebody listening tonight, the truth is the only thing that can set you free. I always say this, people, they recognize, they know, they always say real recognizes real. But we live in a world today where real people, like people for real, they don't want to recognize what's real. They want to beat around the bush. Oh, yeah, God is good. I know God is good, but man, this is pretty good too. They don't want to hear the real. But we still have to give them the truth. We still have to share them the gospel. And this is for us to stay on course. We must know truth for ourselves. That's why we must be in the word. We must pray. We must stay focused, because the devil in this day and age, he's going to try to wipe away what is true. Hopefully I can get there tonight where he's actually going to be doing some of those things. But let's go to Jeremiah 10 through 14. A lot of people, or Jeremiah 29:10-14. A lot of people quote the scripture, the famous scripture. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But a lot of people don't know what was going on around that scripture. So I was, as I've been reading through Jeremiah lately, just to set the whole stage, what's going on is they are getting ready to go into Babylon. Jeremiah is one of the few prophets that hears God. A lot of other prophets are prophelying. Somebody say prophelying. They're prophesizing. Like, hey, well, if I say this, they'll like me. So you have plenty of prophets that no longer know the truth. Somebody say the truth. And the truth won't set you free. We talked about that early. Plenty of these prophets are prophelying. They're saying a whole bunch of things that are not of God. And God is upset at this point. because people are saying that this is a word from God, and God is actually saying in the scripture, that's not from me. Yeah, don't be duped. That ain't from me. I didn't say that. So God is telling Jeremiah to go tell him. And the interesting thing is, it wasn't something that everybody would say to do. Babylon was coming. Babylon was gaining power. And the prophet Jeremiah was told to tell the people, don't fight Babylon. Don't fight Babylon. Just submit. And then he says, not only to submit, learn their system and prosper in their system. This is what God is telling Jeremiah to tell them. But other prophets are saying, hey, dash them to the ground. You can defeat them. And there's actually two prophets that are mentioned in the chapters before. We have a false prophet, Hananiah, who basically bucked the word that Jeremiah had from God and said, you're going to fight them. God told Jeremiah to put a wooden yoke around his neck. And he walked into this place and he said, you guys need to go into captivity. This prophet, this false prophet, Hananiah, came and broke the yoke and said, just like I broke the yoke, we're going to break the yoke of these Babylonians. But the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, well, it's a good thing you can break that wood yoke, but you're not going to be able to break the iron yoke that's going to be around your neck. And he said, because you've done this and tried to buck the word of God, you're going to die. So it said in 7 months of that same year, in the seventh month, Hananiah the prophet died because he was going against the word of God. Now, right there, we see a swift judgment. We see a quick judgment, right? Because God didn't, he was like, and God may have prolonged, may have gave him time, but God was upset with this man. This is very important because I just seen some stuff on the news of another big name pastor who is basically saying some things that the disciples have done in the Bible, we shouldn't accept it. Now, if anybody says something contrary to the Bible, any believer should get up and walk out that place. Or if you have a chance, talk to him and say, hey, man, what did you really mean about that? Can you clarify? And if he says something that's still contrary, leave. The Bible says don't give ear to false preachers, false deceivers, because they're coming to take the truth away. We must know the truth for ourselves. This is what it says in Jeremiah 29, 10, 11. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans, this is a scripture we always see, that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's key too. In knowing God, we have to know God with all of our heart. There's sometimes where we get to knowing God and it's just a partial, oh yeah, God, I believe you, but you ain't really believing. You have to really believe fully with all your heart. It says in verse 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Now, what we see is God is going to restore them back. It's going to take some time. But we see that God is a restorer. Amen. We see that he's a restorer. And part of the restoration is us coming to acknowledge who our God is. At this time, the Israelites were still confused. They were wondering, oh, is our God this God? Or can he be the God of Baal? Or can he be the God of Ashtaroth poles or whatever? They were trying to figure it out. But he says, at that time, you will know that I'm your God. And you will call on to me and you'll hear me. That's important in knowing who our God is. Amen. Because right now there's false. And I hate to, I'm not one of them people that want to point out everybody and say that's a false prophet or that's a false. We don't need to do that. God will show that they're false. But We do need to pray for some of these people that God would clearly reveal their truth, because sometimes people make errors. Everything we've said has not always been 100% correct. We've all made mistakes. We might have read a scripture and thought it meant something. So sometimes we have to pray for these leaders. Actually, the Bible declares us to pray for our leaders. This is all in knowing truth. We must know truth. I'm going to continue on that later, but let's go to Philippians 3, verse 12 through 16. If this is a scripture my wife did talked about earlier, she took it from me. Amen. Philippians 3, verse 12, it says, and this is staying on course. When we think about staying on course, we must continue to give more and more. Amen. It says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. See, none of us have arrived yet. We hear a lot of a whole bunch of church folks saying, you haven't arrived yet. And they might start hooping and hollering at that point because none of us have made it yet. What is our goal? This is something that we as believers got to think about. What is our goal? When we're staying on the course, what is the goal of your life? It's not, I want to make this money. If it's just making the money, you're on the wrong course. If it's just, oh, getting a nice house, you're on the wrong course. There's nothing wrong with those things when they're in the right place in your life. But our ultimate goal should be to hear well done at the end. Our ultimate goal should be, hey, and not only our ultimate goal, even the goals that we have outside of that should line up with God saying, well done. So it says, I haven't arrived yet at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, see, a lot of times we like the old glory days, right? Now, my dad, he's an old glory day football player. So he'll share some of the old glory days when he's coaching or, you know, I watch a lot of the Hall of Fame football players. All they're talking about is the stuff they done in their past, right? They like, oh, yeah, I lived the life. But we have to know that there's still more life ahead of us. Some of us we came from different things. We might have done different things. God has redeemed us from those things. But guess what? God is still redeeming you. God is still redeeming you. He's still refining you because you're not done yet. It says, forgetting what is behind. Forget the things. And this doesn't mean forget that God saved you. Let me clarify. But forget some of those things that you already overcame. Not to forget so you can't testify. Still testify about it. But don't just be hung up on, oh, man, God saved me in 1999. And what has happened since then? Nothing. God just saved me in 19. Well, you got it messed up, man. God should still be saving you. When we think about a savior, God, he saved us from at one point. But God is not done saving you. Amen. It says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on towards heaven. I must press on. Now see this press. When we see that word press, I used to play basketball. This is not glory days. I'm just talking about it. And because I still got a little bit. But when you press, When there was a thing that we call press defense, full court press defense. Full court press defense is when you got five people and you try to guard the whole perimeter to perimeter, baseline to baseline. You're trying to stick that and put heavy pressure on the other team, right? My mom remember full court press. Did you guys play that? And what happens a lot of times when you are pressing, you're going to get tired. I remember I played on a team, I think we had six people, but for some reason, only five people came to the games. And we had to press through the whole game. And in that season, I think we only won one game, but every game we pressed. That's my dad was my coach then. And I was like, come on, Dad, get us. We got to win. But we pressed on, and the team that we won, we blew out. It was bad. But the press was designed to keep us going. It stops certain things. And sometimes when you press, you're going to have to get focused. Somebody say focused. When you're pressed, or even if you look at the word pressure, pressure is applied to a certain area. Right? Sometimes we feel, oh, I'm feeling pressures. You say, oh, my head's hurting because I feel pressured. I got a headache. My body's aching because I'm feeling pressure. But we have to press on towards the goal. We have to say, hey, man, let me inch closer to this goal. Let me continue to get closer to this goal so that I can be satisfied in who I am in God, and so that God can be satisfied in who I am in Him. Amen. We're talking about staying on the course. We have to press. There's going to be times where you don't want to press. There's going to be times where you're like, God, why the heck do you got me doing this? Huh? There's going to be times. There's going to be times. I remember working out with Chamion and running around the blocks. And I'm like, why the heck am I doing this? Why? Because I want to get my body in shape. But your body is not saying that at the same time. You're saying, why am I on this elliptical, precious? You say, hey, why the heck am I on here? Why? What am I doing in this gym? Matter of fact, who am I? That's what happens when you are pressing. Sometimes your body doesn't like it. Sometimes there's going to be things that you're not going to be able to do. But that's what happens when you press. When you're pressing into the presence of God, you got to remove some things. If you're going to stay in the course, there's some things that got to be removed. You can't keep on doing everything that you've been doing and thinking that, hey, I'm going to press into God. We got this young adult conference coming up. It's deliverance, freedom, and liberty. We're going to press on these things. Why? Because people need to be delivered. People need to be set free. People need to see the liberty that is in God. And not liberty to do whatever you want. Some people think when I hear the word liberty, that means I'm free to do whatever I want. No, I'm talking about the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. And we have to press. But part of staying on the course after you press is patience. Somebody say patience. Patience, and I actually have the definition. It says, bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Now, when I read that, that's not even the one I'm going to focus on. But when you have patience, it says bearing with pains or trials calmly and without complaint. A lot of us, we're going through pain, but we're not calm. And this ain't even a scripture. This is just a definition. Patience. It says manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. Number three, not hasty or impetuous. Number four, I like this one a lot. Steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Steadfast means to continue, to stay strong despite adversity, despite anything that happens. Number five, also able or willing to bear. Patience is key in our walk with God and staying on the course. Sometimes we all want to get to heaven. We all want to get to heaven, and sometimes we want to get there faster than others. But we have to know that God knows when we're going to go. We have to have patience and know that, okay, God, He's doing something right now. A lot of times when we don't have patience, we want it right now. But God is sometimes, or a lot of times when you, even with my kids, I might not give them something at that moment because it's not good for them right now. For church, you want a church with 100 members, but you're not ready for that yet. So God is saying, be patient. I'm building in you. I'm building you up. So when that comes, you'll be ready. That's what God does. Patience. Somebody say patience. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, 9 through 12. Actually, 9 through 20. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. The things have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help people. Now, see, helping people, that's what gets us weary at times. Just keep going. Helping people is what gets us weary. Sometimes you're so caught up in helping this person and that person is draining you. Right? There's going to be some things that people do in your life that you're not going to be in agreement with. You don't want to be around it. But God has called you to help that person. Amen? Mariana, stop. God is not unjust. He says he will not forget the work. I actually read that verse. In verse 11, it says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. Somebody say to the very end. We must show the same diligence to the very end. It's going to keep going. So that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy. Somebody say lazy. See, it's easy to become lazy staying on the course because, hey, man, it's getting easy now. But sometimes you're going to have to, God might throw a monkey in a wrench, right? I don't know. I never knew why they say he a monkey in a wrench. But hey, if there's a monkey in a wrench, it's not getting the job done. There might be an extra hurdle that God throws in that you thought wasn't supposed to be there, but God did it so he could show you something. Because sometimes we grow lazy in what we do. We grow lazy in sharing the gospel with people. We grow lazy in worship. We grow lazy in praise. We grow lazy in these things. But it says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, God has a promise. He's even given us part of the promise. But staying on the course is to get the full promise. Amen. And let's talk about Abraham. It says in verse 13, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, this is what Abraham did. He waited patiently. I get to looking at Abraham a lot of times because we got to remember who Abraham was, what he was doing, what God called him to do. He went through a lot. Abraham was like, God said to leave. He left. I can say that goes with some of us. When God tells us to do something, sometimes we do it. We're quick to do it. But then when we don't see the promise right away, we're like, God, where's my promise at? You told me I was going to get candy. My kids might say that. Well, you told me I was going to get candy. I said, after you clean your room. Now, they might go in there and pick up a few things at first. But if they don't have patience, they're not going to stay there. So then they want the candy. We have to have patience and endure to the end. It says people swear by someone greater than themselves in an oath that confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have to be encouraged by the promise that God gave to Abraham. We have to be encouraged by seeing the fulfillment of what God has promised. Amen. It says in verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We look at Jesus, him ascending into heaven, him coming defeating sin and ascending into heaven. That's our promise. That's what we will all receive if we stay patiently on the course. Amen. I'm just about done. Revelations 13, 1 through 10. We're talking about patience, but we're also going to see in the last days some of the things that end up happening that are going to knock some people off the course. But somebody say, I got to stay on course. It says, the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. Now, some people say dragons ain't real, but this is a dragon. And a dragon, this dragon is real. And it says, I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. Somebody say blasphemous name. Now, why does it have a blasphemous name? Because he is coming to defeat truth. Everything about him is anti-truth. It said, the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. And now this is the thing that happens, man. I know you guys are reading this and like, what is going on right here? We're talking about somebody that's going to go against truth. Remember, I talked about knowing truth. It's very important that we take hold of truth, because sometimes we see people that don't have hold of truth, but they have great authority. They are in charge. So we see the masses following this non-truth. But us as believers, it might not be popular to follow truth. And we're at a point where now it's like everybody doesn't want to be a Christian no more. But we have to understand, we got to keep on going. Somebody say, stay on course. It said, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. Now see, it says, people worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud, somebody say proud, words and blasphemes, and to exercise its authority for 42 months. Now, what we see during this time is, this is talking about the Antichrist, it's talking about the beast, and it's talking about how they are going to gain control. They're going to be in charge. They're running things. It says they have authority for 42 months. Now, 42 months, if you break that down, that's about 3.5 years, right? 3.5 years. So we see the enemy has control for 3.5 years. And we're going to see what happens with the people of God during this time. It said it opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. Somebody say to conquer them. Now, when you read this, you're like, man, the enemy is going to conquer them? How? Because it is not saying that these people are not going to stay on course. This is part of the course that they're going to have to endure. We have people now that are facing persecution for serving God. They may end up passing on in this life, but know that they stayed on course and they're going to receive and inherit their prize. There's going to be a time where this is going to be everywhere. But we have to stay on course despite what's going on. It says, verse 7 again, it says, it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was a given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let him hear. It says in verse 10, if anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This is key right here. The end part of verse 10 says, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Now, as we stay on course, we see all hell in this scripture right here is breaking loose. It's basically hell on earth at this point. If you don't worship the devil, he's killing you. But it says it calls for patient endurance and faithfulness for the saints. We have to stay on course despite what goes on. God has been putting this on my heart. We have to stay on course. This, like I said, sometimes it's going to get, the Bible said as I was praying, as Precious was praying earlier, the Bible talks about do not grow weary in doing well, for in due season you will reap the reward. This is important for us to remember because there is so many things that are going to come to try to distract us. But as the word of God says, we must stay on course. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us go home. I want to encourage you today, if you have not given your life to the Lord, to give your life to God, to serve God, and to follow him fully. Amen. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, for this word. I pray, dear God, that everybody that hears this, oh God, that your word would not return void. Dear God, that you would strengthen us, oh God, that you would encourage us, oh God, that we would encourage and strengthen one another, dear God, as you've called us to do. Dear God, and we pray, dear God, that you would help us stay on the course that you've called us, dear God, to the high calling of Jesus Christ, that we would continue to walk worthy of the call, oh God, as you say in your word, Jesus. And dear God, keep us as we go from this place, but never from your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody say it. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.